Welcome to the Summit Restoration Church podcast, where hope comes alive, lives are restored, and Jesus leads the way. Let's climb higher together.
Oh, give him praise. Hallelujah. Pam leaned over and asked me, are you going to try to do something after all that? I said, no, not me. I know better. I know what side my bread's buttered on, you know. But I do want to say thank you. I want to say, let's give the praise team a hand of appreciation. Come on. I appreciate the freedom and the liberty that is here just to obey the Lord, whatever. Because I'm not kidding. This is not available everywhere we go. Everywhere we go is not. Well, that's a whole other thing. So I do have a verse of scripture I do want to read to you. And I'm just going to share a little bit about what we do and what is our role in this house. Matthew chapter 13. Beginning at verse 47. Red letter edition, Jesus said, and the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net. Everybody say a net. That was cast into the sea, gathered of every kind, which when it was full, drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then in verse 52, let me read verse 51. Jesus said, have you understood all these things? And they said, yes, Lord. Then he said to them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder which brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. When Pastor Marty called me over a year ago and asked me would Pam and I ordain him and Pastor Angela and to consider being the covering over this house, I counted it an honor. It's a privilege to be able to link together, because the kingdom of heaven is as a net. Now let me say this before I go any further. Our job as an overseer is not to boss you around. It's not to tell you what to do. It's not to dictate anything, but to obey the Lord. That's what we dictate for you to do. Just obey the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, obey the Lord. But it is very important, and I know that we're in a time in which non-denominationalism is huge, and I'm not a denominational person, even though I fellowship and cross-pollinate with a bunch of different denominations. And you know, I'm. Some guy told me one time. He said, "You're like a chameleon. You just change colors everywhere you go." But you see, I don't change colors everywhere I go. But I understand, because the Lord took me to this passage of scripture about 20 something years ago, and He said, "This is what I want you to do, and who I want you to be." Because the kingdom, a net is simply a bunch of string or a rope that's knotted together to create a bigger device that can do something for the kingdom that we can't do individually or on our own. Contrary to popular opinion, we need the local church. But we also need the other offices of the fivefold ministry to speak into the local body. Because, and I'm not flipping anybody off, okay? But over the last 50 years, actually over the last 1,500 years, this is what we have become. A pastor-only organism. We have, if you come out of some denominations, they have embraced a pastor. Or over the last 30 years, since Joyce Meyer, Kenneth Copeland, and all those who have been elevated in the teaching gift, we've become this. But if the fivefold ministry can be illustrated like the fingers on a hand, there is still the apostle, there is the prophet. An apostle is not a boss man. An apostle is not someone that tells you what to do or is a glorified king, contrary to popular opinion. One guy told a friend of mine, he said, "You can't really be an apostle until you've planted 21 churches. I said, "Where's that in the Bible?" But an apostle helps local churches to get a grip on doctrine, on understanding the principles of the Lord. You need someone with an apostolic anointing. If saying apostle, and I'm not calling myself an apostle, I'll let somebody else call me that. I am ordained to be a bishop. That and $1.50 can get you a donut somewhere where they sell donuts. Doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things except that there's more responsibility on me to do right and to lead right. But an apostle actually not only establishes, but it helps people get an understanding of doctrine. Now, whether you know it or not, the thumb carries a lot of weight on your hand. See, you can grab that bottle. Go ahead and grab it. It's going to be hard for you to rip it out of my hand. But let me lose the thumb. You see what I'm saying when I say the apostolic gift helps get an understanding, a foundation. That's all it does. It's one of the fivefold ministries. The prophetic gift is the pointer, is illustrated by the pointer finger. Prophets can sometimes give direction and give leadership. But without the apostle and the prophet working together, because the apostle can get real geeky when it comes to church government, when it comes to establishing order. I can go way off on a tangent when it comes to all that. And so I need people with a prophetic anointing in my life to not become so rigid and structured that I don't lose, or a local church does not lose that sensitivity to the Holy Ghost that we've had this weekend. You see what I'm saying? The evangelistic gift is the middle finger, because on most people's fingers, I know there's some weirdos around, but the middle finger reaches out further than all the other fingers do. That's what the evangelist does. An evangelist reaches out further than other people do. The pastor is illustrated by the ring finger. And I am married, but I broke my ring standing in the pulpit 3 weeks ago and I hadn't got another one yet. So I am married, y'all, okay? But I find it fascinating that the pastoral gift is illustrated by the finger that carries the ring. I love you. I appreciate you. But I don't love you like these two people do. I'm leaving. I'm going somewhere else. I'll be in Kenya by Wednesday. I'll be in Kenya. And so I'll have a whole nother set of focus when I get there. And I'll be thinking about you and I'll be praying for you, but I won't be thinking about, I'm just telling you, this is the way the office works. I won't be thinking about you like they do, because I guarantee you, if you were to inquire of them and if they would be honest, you're the first thing they think about in the morning when they get up. And you're the last thing they think about when they go to bed at night. Maybe not each one individually, but how can we corporately get closer to the Lord? How can we corporately understand the mantle that is on us? Because you see, it's not just individuals that carry mantles and anointings. A church carries a mantle and an anointing as well. And when and two things happen. When we either get bored with the mantle that we carry, that's when that ungodly discontent that I talked about Friday night, that's when that ungodly discontent stirs up and we open ourselves up to gossip and anger and strife and debate, and somebody say, praise the Lord. So we need the whole fivefold ministry to speak into our life and to speak into a local body. So what does it mean that we are connected together? What does that mean that we are affiliated to get? You're affiliated with Revival Now International, and we're affiliated with you. We're just a bunch of strings or rope tied together, knotted together to make a greater device that we can do something together for the kingdom of God. Doesn't mean that I have the authority. I don't own this building. I don't own this property. I don't own anything but a plot of land in Hughley, Alabama. And if I can find somebody to give me $200,000 for that, they can have it tomorrow. Thank you for your enthusiasm. We didn't demand that the church tithe to us. We were willing to do this because we wanted to, because I believed for a long time that we were going to be connected together in some way. I didn't tell them that because I don't ever do anything and never want to do anything by manipulation or coercion. That's not the Holy Ghost. Amen? When it's a God thing, it'll happen no matter who's standing in the way. No matter who tries to stop it, when God's in it, it will work, and it will work good. Amen? So we are a bunch of string and rope tied together in knots to create a stronger device that can be used for the kingdom purpose. So your tithing and your giving to Revival Now, your support, creates a kingdom connection that gives you access to a Bible school if you want to go to Bible school. It gives you access to curriculum that we have written that I'll give to you. I may sell it to somebody else, but because of our kingdom connection, I'll give whatever we have to you. Because that's what a daddy does, is he gives. Amen? If that's not your forte, I do want to, I hope I'm not prophelying. But I've really sensed the last couple of days that there is coming to this house some kind of discipleship program and school of ministry that will not do what the ramp does or what other people, because what God is doing here is setting in order something that will carry the DNA of this place, because God already knows how to win the people in East Lawrence. You don't want people ministering to students or younger people or even older people. This is not just something for younger people, because if there is one thing that is a desire of my heart, is that the local church will recapture the desire for discipleship. I just cussed in the pulpit. That's another cuss word. You know, I hear people all the time saying, there's not enough discipleship. There's not enough teaching. There's not enough teaching. All we've got is preaching and hype and blah, 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 blah. I say, yeah, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus, and you a lying devil. Because every pastor I know in the world, not just in the United States, has a desire to disciple people, to grow closer and mature them in the walk of the Lord. But what has to happen is there has to come a heart for discipleship in the body. Thank you for your enthusiasm. If you don't want to be discipled, you're not going to be discipled. Let me say this, since I'm walking out of here in just a few minutes and you won't see me again until next year. There's a lot of people that grew up getting a participation trophy, getting a ribbon, getting a trophy, getting a badge because you participated. There ain't no participation trophy here. You get the participation trophy when you get to heaven. Okay? There's some things that we're going to do. There's some things that God is going to use in us, to us, and through us that we will not be rewarded for when we're on this earth. He's going to hold it because he wants you to have something when you stand before him, and you'll hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen? Amen. So you have access to some teaching and discipleship, and we're going to help you do that when the time comes. I already got the plan. Glory to God. But I ain't telling you to do it tomorrow because I ain't going to be around for a while, okay? It opens the door for you to be connected to other churches and ministries around the world. We're not a denomination, but we're not only connected to churches here in the United States and ministries here in the United States, but you have 50 churches you're connected to in Kenya that you may never meet, but you're connected to them. Praise the Lord. You'll have opportunities to build churches, not just in Kenya, but in many countries of the world. God puts it on your heart. You want to build a church? We got connections. We got connections. You have opportunities to minister in our orphanage in Kenya, but also I have a couple of other orphanages. If Kenya is not on your heart, doesn't have to come to me or through me. I got orphanages all over the world that I can connect you to that are begging for people to come alongside and help them. And also you'll have more access to fivefold ministers that can pour into this body, because if there is two things, and I'm closing, because I told the Lord I was not going to override the Holy Ghost. There is something called cross-pollination. It's important that we follow the leadership of the Lord in what he leads us to do. But we cannot forget that we need other people in our lives. And we need to be connected to others. Because cross-pollination, I'm not a, what is that called? Horticulture or something like that, you know, flower stuff. I flunked that in school. I really did. I really flunked it in school. But cross-pollination happens when a bird or a bug or wind or even rain gets pollen out of one flower and deposits it in another. See, the worst thing, and I'm not against independent churches. I'm not against denomination. I'm not for them. But what I'm saying is, if we need a God connection with other ministries in our life, because we need some of the pollen that's in them to come and pollinate here, and other churches and ministries need the pollen that is in this house to pollinate them, because when we do, it not only strengthens us, but it also creates a better organism that can withstand disease and can withstand drought and can withstand a lot of other stuff that the devil might try to. Does that make sense to anybody? One more thing, and I promise, this is the last close. This morning when I was up, I had a feeling something wow was going to happen this morning. When I got up this morning and I was out walking and praying, I kept asking the Lord for myself. I was just being selfish. I was asking for myself. Lord, do something distinct in me. And when I prayed, I didn't even say it out loud. You know, I'm glad God can hear the silent prayers too. Sometimes I don't pray out loud. I know that that puts me in jeopardy with a lot of my friends. But sometimes I don't want the devil to hear what I'm praying. Because the devil cannot read your mind. The devil can't read your mind. I don't care what the witches and the warlocks and all the tarot card readers and all that, they claim. The devil can't read your mind. If he has information on you, it's because you've opened your mouth and spoke it. Or somebody else has opened their mouth and spoke it. And so I just prayed that silently, and when I did, I didn't even come out of my mouth. Something shifted in the spirit. And I know that that word is thrown around a lot, and most of the time just to hype and manipulate. See, we've already had it, so I can say it freely now. I'm telling you, there's a shift that has happened. You may not have felt it yet, but there is a shift that is happening. There are more songs going to come out of this house that carry the DNA of what God is doing. You're not going to just be singing everybody else's songs. You're going to start singing your own songs, because God is going to stir it up, and it's going to release on you guys, and you're going to write them, and it's going to be good. And remember me when you come into your kingdom, okay? There's a school of ministry that's coming. I don't know how that all shakes down, but there's some kind of discipleship is going to come. And there's others that are going to come. And so when they come, don't be so rigid and think that everything has to be done in a certain way. Keep allowing the Spirit of the Lord to be free, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. So that, in a nutshell, is what we do together. Again, I'm not your boss. I'm not your master. I'm just your pastor. He's your pastor, but I'm his pastor, okay? And so we love you guys, and we appreciate the freedom and the liberty that we have felt. I appreciate the liberty just to sit on the pew and let it go.
Thanks for joining us today at Summer Restoration Church. Stay encouraged, stay connected, and let's keep climbing higher together. See you next time.